You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Chris Gilpin.
And Sam Tweedle. How are you guys tonight?
Good.
Hot. Yeah, hot.
A little warm.
It's a warm one.
It's been weird weather, man. Like sometimes it seems so cool and it's so balmy and tropical right now. Not in a good way.
Well, one thing I can guarantee is wherever we are is not cool.
Oh, I'm pretty cool.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Yeah,
you're wearing a Kenny Rogers t-shirt.
Kenny Rogers t-shirt. Yeah. I saw Kenny Rogers last night in concert.
Screamed like a little girl.
I didn't scream at all. In fact, I was really too. Yeah, I was really. I didn't make much noise at all. I wasn't in a very. The people around me weren't the most exciting people. The real party was down on the floor, and my tickets were so far in the nosebleeds that I was not where the party was happening. But it was a good time. A good time. Kenny Rogers is on his. Last a world tour right now, but it's his final tour. He's done after this, and it's so funny. The whole thing with Kenny Rogers is like, I don't know, a lot of people they're really treating it right now like I'm a real Kenny Rogers fan. I don't dislike Kenny Rogers, but I don't particularly like, would have ever called myself a fan. It's more of an irony thing.
You like finding his records in stores.
It's an irony thing.
Yeah.
But with that said, Kenny Rogers did a great show. I had so much fun last night. He sang songs and told stories and I really enjoyed it. But also with that said, I would like to say that just I wouldn't say that I'm not a Kenny Rogers fan, but his first band, his original band, Kenny Rogers in the First Edition. I actually really do like them. I like their records a lot. It's like when I buy those are actually in my like my premium record section, not the ones that I have to dig a little bit for. But we're not here to talk about records.
Yes, we.
That's another show. That's another
we
show.
Have a caller / message.
It's Marty telling
saying,
Sam to stop talking
get on
about
with
records.
Kenny
probably.
Rogers and let's talk about comics.
All right, let's talk about comics. Yes. Yeah, you guys read any comics this week?
I bought comics this week, which was been a long time coming. Haven't read too many of them, though, unfortunately.
No. How about you, Dan?
I actually read a lot of comics this week.
Right.
But nothing current.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Like,
we can talk about those.
Because I went on, so like I pay for the Marvel Unlimited app. $10 a month.
Tell us, how's that app working out for you?
Well, it was a waste of $10 a month for most of the year. And then last night I was like, literally last night, I was like, you're wasting $10 a month. Read some stupid comics. And I went on there and read 12 comics last night.
Yeah, what'd you read?
I read the whole Civil War II up until the last issue because it's not on there yet.
Yeah.
What, so, is it late?
Oh. No, it's
not late because it's... But, I mean, technically it is later because they do 6 months from when it's published. So, because it was late being published.
They waited forever for that. But I remember, it's been a while since I read it now, but I really liked that series when it came out.
I think that it's, like, I feel like a lot of these comics that I read, I really enjoy reading them digitally. And, like, in this Marvel Unlimited form, but if I was paying for them, like, you know, $4 a comic book, I'd probably be like, it wasn't that great.
Mm.
Like, isn't Civil War was an interesting read.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading it, but I'm glad I didn't wait a month or 6 months in between issues to, you know, I just binged it and did 7 issues in one night. And I you know, just kept reading and reading and reading. Yeah.
Sometimes that's also, like, we've all talked, experienced that, too, where sometimes waiting the 30 days, you kind of forgot what happened.
Yeah.
Right? And then you got to reread. Sometimes, when that happens to me, I like to take a series and read about four or five at the same time. And, you know, to catch up. Like, I'm doing that right now with Royal City. And now I can keep track of it. I just love it. But that's a great thing about that app is, you know, it's kind of like the Netflix of...
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and you also have a chance to try things that you wouldn't try. Like, I read the Totally Awesome Hulk or whatever with Amadeus Cho.
What'd you think of that?
I read the first issue because I was just trying a bunch of different stuff. And I would read more, but it definitely wasn't my favorite thing ever.
Gotcha.
Like, I was like, I read it, and I was like, okay, I get what they're doing here. I get that they're going for a different demographic now for that, because it's like, he's a cool teenager guy, and
yeah,
a lot of it's about, like, him being, like, attracted to girls.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Not weird, but, like, kind of weird in the comic book that all he thinks about is girls for the entire comic, including the She-Hulk.
Right. See, I'm glad. Now, just listening to that makes me glad I never ever read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay.
That with a 10-foot pole.
But, yeah. And then what else? I read something that was good, but I don't remember what it is. So,
oh, yeah. That's about that happens.
Oh, the new Hawkeye series with Kate Bishop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yeah.
I've stopped collecting it, but it's one of those ones I stopped collecting that I've been kind of like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have stopped. But I think I'm going to end up picking up the trade paperbacks at some point.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that. A little while ago, I cut a lot of my superhero books. And I have no regrets doing it. But I do find now I'm going back and I'm buying the trades. Like, I'm buying all the trades of all new Wolverine, all the trades of Old Man Logan. And I think there's some definite Kate Bishop Hawkeyes in my future. Because I just love that. I love both Clint and Kate so much, and when they team them up, it's even better. But
I feel like the Kate Bishop Hawkeye almost has a feel like the Mockingbird series as well. That
sure.
kind of humor to it. That you know, if you enjoyed the Mockingbird or Kate Bishop Hawkeye, like those are ones you would enjoy.
I like the fact that Kate Bishop calls herself the Good Hawkeye. Aren't you Hawkeye? Yeah, I'm the Good Hawkeye.
And yeah, like the first issue has her, like, just half of it is her being mad at people who are mad at Clint.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's half the issue. Leave me alone. I'm not that Hawkeye.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah.
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 Sad to say that I did read something. I just can't remember what it was.
Whose comics are these?
These are my comics.
Oh, those are yours.
These are my comics. I read a bunch of stuff this week.
I could tell you what I bought.
Oh, well, what'd you buy?
Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, we can talk a little bit about that.
Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Oh, we'll be talking about that. Yes.
Oh, I had a couple weeks worth of pickups.
Yeah.
There's a Champions in there and some X-Men.
Which one do you want me to start with? Shirtless Bear Fighter. This seems to be, as I understand it now, I gotta tell you, I've been so busy this week. I've between starting a new job and going to see Kenny Rogers and just trying to walk my cat, I've been very busy. So you guys are gonna have to fill me in if I'm right or wrong, because I haven't been on the interwebs very much. But I have been reading some comics whenever I can get some time in. And as I understand it, Shirtless Bear Fighter is sort of one of those... it's ended up being a little bit of a hidden hit that we didn't see coming. And people are now sort of scrambling, looking for issues. It's already gone up on eBay, as I understand. Okay, I don't know. Is that right? Is that right? Did I get
Apparently.
This right? Apparently, okay.
I haven't looked, but Martin's...
Yeah, okay. So I didn't even notice for a Shirtless Bear Fighter at all. When it came out, it was something that just... I was downsizing at the time. Boy, I'll tell you, for a guy that was downsizing comics, my list in the last couple months has just grown again. But Marty, I will give him credit for saying Marty was the guy who saw this and told me, get on it. This is going to be great. And I'm thinking to myself, will it be great? Will it be that kind of thing that Marty kind of likes and I kind of poo-poo, because we have sort of... I can be a little bit more pretentious than Marty, why Marty kind of likes that more silly action stuff, and I'm kind of like, Yeah, I don't know. I can be a guy, but well, let me tell you something. Shirtless Bear Fighter is bloody freaking awesome. Okay, it is. How many pages is this thing? How many pages is this book? If I look, how many pages is it? I don't know. I'm wasting time now looking to see page. Whatever, let's say it's 22 pages. It is 22 pages of awesome. All right, that is what this book is. Now, I'm not going to give anything away, but basically it's about a guy. He does not wear clothes. He is in the woods, and he is fighting bears. The bears are out of control. The bears are attacking America. And Shirtless Bear Fighter, he hates the bears. Who's going to save America from the bears? Shirtless Bear Fighter. I have basically summed up this whole book. All right, now it's a five-part miniseries. The worst thing about Shirtless Bear Hunter, I'm sorry, the worst thing about Shirtless Bear Fighter is the fact that it's only five issues. All right, there better be, and I have a feeling that there will be a Shirtless Bear Fighter 2. Let's see how it goes. It is funny. It is irrelevant. It is, the art is fantastic. Marty is texting me. I'm not going to, okay, message Martin. I'm not going to say that. It could be considered a spoiler. Okay. So, anyway. It's just such a fun book. And I can't, it wasn't my favorite. Yeah, you know what? I even have to go on record to say that Shirtless Bear Fighter was my favorite book of the week. So, if you can find it, because a lot of stores apparently did not even order it. We were at, we were trying to get a copy for Dan.
Yeah.
And of course, we go to World's Clyde, which orders everything. And they did not order Shirtless Bear Fighter. There was no shelf copies at CBA. So you're like, yeah, and now people are scrambling, and it's awesome.
So did Martin get a copy? Because I got the impression that he didn't, the way he was.
Me and Marty both got copies.
Because right, I got a copy here at the Grey Guardian as well.
No.
Yeah, they had two.
No. How in the hell? Different
covers. I just grabbed one. I had no idea what
Oh, first of all.
Now, just for the record, there is no copy of Grey Guardian because I went looking.
No, I messaged Dan immediately that works there, and he sent the girl on. So.
How did Grey Guardian
apparently
have
he can
one?
Reorder them. So
how did Grey Guardian have comics?
I don't know.
Oh,
apparently
my.
He said they're still available for reorder. So
well, we'll see. Anyway, next one up, Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man. All right, this Chip Zdarsky and Adam Kubert, I guess, did the art on this thing. All right. We all know Spider-Man, pardon for the course, right? Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to flat out come out and say it. Okay, I'm a longtime Spider-Man fan and Spider-Man reader, and right now is the first time in years and years and years where there hasn't been a Spider-Man book on my pull list. It all happened, no, it's the second time, let's say, in 25 years that I haven't been collecting Spider-Man. A few years ago when Straczynski was doing it, I stopped collecting Spider-Man. Not that I love Straczynski. I think he's a great writer. But I couldn't recognize the Spider-Man in the book. He was a school teacher who Aunt May knew who he was. And he was married to Mary Jane. And he didn't have any problems. And he didn't have any problems. He was living a cozy little life. And it was boring as all hell. Wasn't my Spider-Man. Quit collecting it. I recently did that again with the Amazing Spider-Man when they came back from what was that earth-shattering thing that happened
Secret
in
Wars?
Marvel's no before Secret Wars where that they restarted Secret everything Wars. Anyway, when they rebrought Spider-Man back, they've done this thing where he's not really Spider-Man now, and he's Iron Man, and he's rich, and he's globetrotting, and he's in a and he has no problems.
Oh, Superior Spider-Man.
No, I like that. That was right. Where Doc Ock took over the Spider-Man.
Wasn't it Doc Ock that helped him become a millionaire? And then
yeah, but that, back that over but again? That was really good.
It was great.
And then now he's just rich and lame. So anyway, I dropped Spider-Man because it wasn't good. In fact, one of the stupidest comics I've read in the last 20 years was an issue of Spider-Man where he fell from space. He did a free fall from space out of a spaceship and survived. And it was just stupid, you know. Anyway, Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, is a return to the fun-loving Spider-Man that I love and that I want to read. Not that it's all about me, and they're supposed to make comics I want to read. But as I said, if I don't recognize Spider-Man, I don't want to read it. I want Spider-Man to be kind of a friendly, bumbling loser who everybody kind of likes, but has bad days. And he's in New York, and he has Aunt May, and he has girl problems. And that's what you get, again, in Spider-Man. But he's... Oh, my God.
You could turn the volume down.
Okay. Sorry, everybody. That was my cell phone. It's just been going off and going off. And I thought it was Martin, but apparently it wasn't. Anyway.
So your opinion of this book?
Oh, God, I loved it. I loved it. It's like Spider-Man's back. Or like the Spider-Man I want to read. I'm so happy I'm reading another Spider-Man book.
So where does this fall in line with the current Amazing Spider-Man?
I think it's kind of like it's all in continuity somehow. But he's still rich and stuff. But this is what he does when he's not globetrotting. He's in New York. And you have in this, you have him hanging out with his friends, hanging out with people. His problems with Aunt May. And the cliffhanging page, like the for next issue, completely awesome. It was like, wow, I want to know what happens next. I think this is going to be less action-orientated and more personal, kind of like with Spider-Man's interactions. And as I've often said about one of the great things about Spider-Man is that it's not always about the bad guys. Spider-Man's a lot about the soap opera. It's a lot about his... that's why he has one of the greatest and largest supporting casts of all time, is because it's often about that social interaction. And I think that's what you're going to see a lot in that. I don't know. So that's what I thought of Spider-Man.
Cool.
Next up. Well, this is an interesting book. I forgot I ordered this. This was one of those things that I ordered and I didn't remember. And then I got to CBA and it was there. And I'm like, I'm about to go to, hey, Alex, I didn't order this. And then it was like, oh, wait. Yeah, I know those that. Oh, yeah, I did order this. Oh, okay. So I bought it. It's a image book called Crosswind by Gail Simone. And so I thought, you know what? Yeah, I did order it. I love Gail Simone. This is her first image project. So that's why I ordered it. And I'm not going to give too much away, but it's a pretty interesting read. And I'm definitely going to stick with it for a while. It's about...
Keep talking.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's about... I don't remember the name of the characters, per se, but it's about... It's the story of a hitman and a housewife. All right? The hitman's just this hitman who runs around killing people and is in trouble. The housewife is emotionally abused. Her husband's cheating on her. She's kind of a very scared person who's just having a bad life. Well, you guys remember that movie from the 1970s with Jodie Foster, Freaky Friday?
Yep.
Basically, a Freaky Friday happens, and all of a sudden, the hitman finds himself in the hitman in trouble finds himself in the body of the abused housewife, where the abused housewife finds herself in the body of the hitman in trouble. What's going to happen? I don't know. That's why we need to get number two. So, nice. Was it great? Eh, I don't know. It was okay, but the concept's awesome, and not as awesome as Shirtless Bear Fighter. But still pretty cool. So I'm sticking with it. And I just want to quickly talk about, very quickly, Archie number 21. I just read this tonight, actually. They got this new series. This is, again, Mark Waid. This is in the basic Archie book. And in part, it's a story about called Over the Edge. And in number 20... they set up a concept where there was a drag race between Reggie and Archie. Archie and Betty have spent the whole summer fixing up this car, and Archie was going to get into a drag race with Reggie to prove some kind of point. I don't know what point it was, because, I don't know, some Riverdale-type point. And Betty was really upset about it, so she tried to stop the race and ended up... there was the three people racing, and then in this cliffhanger to the first issue... you saw a car flip over the edge, all right? In the second issue, there's all these little vignettes with Mr. Weatherby, with Moose and Dilton, with Jughead, and Veronica, and at the end, they all get the text that something's wrong. And at the end of the issue, although I doubt it's going to take, there's a very dramatic scene with the death, or the supposed death, or the maybe death of a beloved Archie, iconic Archie character. I will not give away who it is. It's not Archie. We've already done that. Which was one of the dumbest Archie stories ever. But anyway, Wade's writing's just so good. But you can just see, again, they're even in the regular Archie book, you can see that they're trying to push towards that more of a darker Riverdale feel, but without it being stupid. Without, you know, where the characters are actually in continuity, the characters that we love, instead of like Jughead being a homeless guy that's now dating Betty and his father's a drug dealing biker who killed Jason Blossom or something like that. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, so it's kind of Wade's doing something really cool right now where he is sort of taking, writing this, I think, now towards that more Riverdale edge, but still able to not alienate an audience member like me. And I got to the end of this book, like, and it was funny. There was some really funny stuff in it, too. And then I got to the end. I was like, holy crap. This is, like, one of the darkest endings in an Archie comic ever. And doesn't suck. So, do I think the character's going to die? I don't know. Actually, that's the thing. I don't know. This is so out of continuity. And now we have the new Archie book, the new classic Archie book coming next month, Your Pal Archie. Like, they could do anything. They could kill off a character and go, well, that's Mark Waid's Archie, you know? And that character is still alive and the other stuff. They could do that. I don't know. I don't know what Mark Waid's going to do. The splash page at the end says, next month, everything changes. Maybe. I don't know.
Is that book put out by Marvel?
Well, actually, I think Archie and Marvel... Well, Marvel, Archie's putting out those new Marvel digests.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe there is a connection there. I don't know. So, Mark Waid, you're... Mark Waid, if you're out there listening, and I know you're not, you're a madman. You are an absolute madman. And I can't... I was so gripped by the final two pages of this book. And I can't wait to see what craziness you do next month. And this, do you dare do what you do, what you say you're going to do? I don't know. We'll see. Oh man, that'd be crazy. I wish I could spoil it. I want to talk about it so bad. It's killing me. But anyways, so those are my comic reviews for what I read.
Nice.
I read another comic that
yeah, what was that?
It was actually the Miles Morales Spider-Man comic.
Oh, I like him.
Where when he got, after Secret Wars, when they gave him his own actual normal Spider-Man comic instead of the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, which is now the basis of the new Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Yeah, which isn't featuring Miles Morales, even though it's the basis of the,
But the comic was good. I enjoyed it.
It's a great comic.
And I'll definitely read more.
Yeah, but you know, you can go see it as a movie, but with Peter Parker as Spider-Man instead of Miles Morales.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
No, neither am I. I can't be bothered. Apparently, you know, I'm betraying somebody or something by not doing that. But I just got such a sour taste in my mouth. I mean, the movies today, they're pushing towards diversity. You know, we've had Black Annie. We've had Black Human Torch. None of that made sense. And now we actually have a chance to do a Spider-Man movie about a fan favorite, beloved character who's of mixed race. And they're like, you know what? Audiences aren't going to buy it. Let's just do the white kid again. Like, come on. Miles Morales as the star of Spider-Man Homecoming could have been exactly what Marvel movies wanted. And people would have gone. Everybody would have gone. We would have loved it.
I don't think as many people would have gone, no.
For a Miles Morales film.
No.
They just got to put...
Because they're like, who's Miles Morales?
They just got to put Spider-Man as the
yeah,
in the marquee or whatever.
In the marquee, and people would have gone.
Not as many, I don't think. But
no, probably we'll never not. Know that, but you know, but probably as many people as who went to Ant-Man.
I kind of agree with Sam more than Chris here, because I think that there's been five movies with Spider-Man, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And I think people don't care about Peter Parker anymore. Five movies. Mm-hmm. The only reason people are excited about this movie is that it's a Marvel-ish movie. Like, it's in, you know, the MCU.
Yeah. Iron Man's in half of it.
Yeah. So, but, like, otherwise, I think people would just be like, another Spider-Man movie? Who cares?
Yeah, but my problem I'm having with, like, the relationship that Spider-Man has with Iron Man is the relationship that Miles has with Miles Morales. And what's his buddies there in his high school? I can't remember his name,
but I know who you're talking
about.
But he's
in the movie.
Yeah.
And he's Peter Parker's buddy, not Miles Morales. Like, how does this make sense? It's bad enough that Aunt May, and you don't, people don't see I'm making air quotation marks as I say, Aunt May is, what, 5 years older than me? Look, I know... that I'm no longer young. I have come to accept that. But in no longer being young, I'm still a hell of a lot younger than Aunt May. Okay? Everybody's younger than Aunt May. Everybody in the world. Like, everybody. Like, what's his face?
Betty White is younger than Aunt May.
You know, Aunt May's like this little old lady that makes wheat cakes, and if you blow on her, She'll topple over and suddenly have a disease that Peter's going to have, you know. I don't feel so well, Peter. And you know what I mean? And she's sick for the next seven issues, you know, just because you coughed on her. She is not vivacious at all. Nobody wants to have sex with Aunt May, except for maybe the Vulture. Oh, wait, isn't he in this movie?
Yep.
Did they make him at least old?
No. Well, Michael Keaton old.
Is Michael Keaton the Vulture? Yeah. I didn't even know that. This shows you how much about this movie I don't care. Yeah. Michael Keaton? No. No. You know who they should have had play the Vulture? Is, what's his face? Douglas. Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas is 100 years old.
Why does the vulture need to be 100 years old?
Because he is. Because the Vulture is like.
But
there's a line. There's a line in the latest issue of Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man. There's a line where somebody makes a joke and says to Peter Parker, "You're like, you have like the highest ratio of senior citizen arch nemesis." You know, and he's talking about the Vulture and the Tinker and stuff like that. The Vulture's just old. He's just an old man. How old's Michael Douglas? What would you say he is? What, about 60?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's okay.
That's a little too old.
A little too like, I old think, for
I think
Michael
if you
Douglas?
Have...
Or not Michael Douglas, Michael Keaton?
Well, yeah, a little too... Like, if Spider-Man's a teenager...
Right.
Are you going to... have his arch nemesis already have 1 foot in the grave. The Vulture, like, comparatively, like, the Vulture should be 50 or 45 or a spry 27. I'm surprised he's not one of his classmates, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd watch Kirk Douglas in almost anything. The only thing that could get me to go to Spider-Man Homecoming is if Kirk Douglas played the Vulture. That's the only thing that could have got me to go.
What if Kirk Douglas calls you up and reads the Vulture's lines while you're watching the movie?
I think the Kirk Douglas at these days is lucky if he can say his own name. Okay, he's like, Kirky, when's Matlock on?
Isn't Kirk Douglas like 100?
100. Douglas is 100 years old. That's what I thought. That's what I'm saying. Now, I would like to
wait,
say...
Wait, when did we switch from Michael Douglas to Kirk Douglas?
Because... we were talking about Michael Keaton. I kept getting Michael Keaton and Kirk Douglas mixed, and I kept amalgamating them into Michael Douglas.
Okay.
We're talking about three different guys, and I've been like just like randomly
using
shooting
them willy nilly.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
I take it you haven't seen Flash Thompson in the trailers.
Oh, God, no, I haven't. Oh, no.
I'm not even going
to
tell
no,
you.
No, no, do it. Do it. We have another half hour to kill.
Well, from what I can see by the trailers, he's essentially Peter. He's smart. He plays chess. He's, from what I can see, definitely not a jock, which I don't get at all.
What? What?
That's only from a few minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay.
I mean,
All right, here's
I won't mention that he's not white either, but that's irrelevant these days.
He's not white?
No.
Well, I don't care if he's not white.
No.
But wait, hold on a second. Flash Thompson is white, is black, but Spider-Man isn't?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I hate this movie even more.
He's not black either. Anyways, doesn't matter.
Oh, is he?
I'm more, it's more about the whole chess-playing, smart rival Peter that we're getting from the trailer.
Oh my God.
Not the old football jock. Throw him against the locker type thing.
Flash Thompson shouldn't even be in it because it's a Miles Morales film. But besides that, doesn't Miles Morales have an arch nemesis at high school? You read the book the other day.
It wasn't in that first issue.
All right. Anyway,
I only read the first issue because that's the only one that's up.
Okay. So what I'm saying here is Marvel usually gets it right. They just get it right. How are they getting this so wrong?
But what gets me, and I know people will disagree, but the latest trailers, like the last trailer that was out starting like last week, it starts with the scene from Civil War. Under Roost! And Spidey comes in, steals Cap's shield. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Why? Why does a trailer about a new Spider-Man movie contain scenes from a different movie? It's like, okay, this is Spider-Man. He shouldn't need Avengers. He shouldn't need Iron Man to sell tickets. But that's what it is. It's Avengers Civil War 0.5 or something, 1.5.
It's because this is, I don't know.
I don't know.
Do people
need to be reminded that he was in Civil War? Because it was the best scene of the whole movie.
Oh, it was. I don't know. I know I'm being an ogre today, and I'm really sorry, guys. I really want to be more of a listen how happy I was about the Spider-Man book, right? I love Spider-Man. I love everything about Spider-Man, except when Spider-Man's done wrong. That is when I don't like Spider-Man, is when Spider-Man's being done bad, okay? And I haven't... Okay, maybe it's just me. Maybe I should give it a chance and go and see the movie, but... I would like to say I still haven't seen Batman versus Superman because I just knew what you all were getting into. I saved 3 hours of my life and $15 to not have to go, Martha. I didn't have to see that. I've never had to see that, and I am so much happier for it. That's the route I'm going down with this, because, you know, no matter how good or bad this Spider-Man Homecoming movie is, if I go, I'm just going to be angry and upset and annoyed, so I might as well go and see the new Planet of the Apes movie, which I probably will like, or the new Despicable Me movie, which I'm really looking forward to because I like the first two, then, you know, and that's what I'm going to do, that's how I'm going to, but... And I know I have a history of not liking comic movies. We've all talked about it here on the show. You guys know how I feel about getting away from source material. But this summer's been amazing for superhero movies. Yep. Amazing. I saw Wonder Woman twice.
Yeah.
I just went and bought Logan. You know?
I was going to say that, oddly enough, I actually want to watch Batman versus Superman again. Because I went to see Wonder Woman finally, and I thought it was awesome.
Really?
So I want to see, because I want to, it's more like part of Batman versus Superman is a sequel to Wonder Woman.
I got it. Kind of. Yeah.
Right? So I...
We haven't talked.
Crossover slash sequel.
We haven't talked since you've seen Wonder Woman.
No.
Dan, have you seen Wonder Woman yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen yet. Okay.
Dan, what, go see Wonder Woman.
What'd you I think? Will. Yeah, tell me. Your me and Marty's talked about it. I want to know. I want to hear your review of Wonder Woman.
Quick and dirty. I loved it.
I mean, I know, right?
I was cheering and shocked at some of the scenes. Yeah. I just thought it was great. Like her, I don't know what you call it, but her not understanding the real world and being so shocked about what it was.
But at the same time, she kind of got it when everyone else didn't, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Right?
Eventually, right? She's seeing things because people are just like, I see people on the street every day. Who cares? Yeah, yeah. But she's like, ugh. But I thought the first time that we get to see her in the outfit, it was like, yeah.
Okay, so that one scene where she, you know, where she's going to go into battle.
Yeah.
And she does that little turn, and she goes into the water, and you're just all screaming, right? Oh, like, that's so amazing. That's such an amazing cinematic moment. But did you not want to see her do the turn at least four more times and then a little explosion? And then she's suddenly in costume.
As a, you know, Christine went to see it. Well, she took me to see it for Father's Day.
Okay.
And I said, okay, so what do you know about Wonder Woman? She says, all I know is that she spins around in a circle and she gets her uniform.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I said, yes, but that's only from the TV universe.
But that's the wonderful thing about that Wonder Woman movie. I've said this before, is that no matter what you know about Wonder Woman, no matter what your expectations is, if you read it in the 1940s, if you read it in the 60s, if you read it in the 80s, if you read it today, if you only know the TV show, if you just love the idea of Wonder Woman and you've just bought the toys, or you just know it as a cultural icon and know nothing about it, it's not going to let you down. No matter what your expectation of Wonder Woman is, it is, and what era you read it in, yeah, it is going to, it's going to work. And they went off source material a few times, and I thought it was awesome. Now, the one thing I would have loved to go, and a lot of, I don't know if you guys know this, a little obscure, but in the 1940s, when they the Amazons didn't ride horses.
Well,
they actually rode giant kangaroos.
Really?
They did. They did. Nice. That would have been awesome if you could. They could have just CGI'd a couple of Amazons.
Yeah.
Bouncing around on giant kangaroos. That would have been awesome, and I really wish. The horse idea was good, and it made some cool scenes, but just one or two. Maybe it would have made it into too much of a comedy or something. You got to admit, some of the comedy in it was really good, too. Like, there were some nice little comedic moments, especially when delving between the sexual tension between Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman. Some of that was often pretty funny.
What's that? What's what? Oh, that's a watch. that's not what he was doing.
I like the whole conversation about women lying with men.
Yeah. Dan, you got to go see this.
Dan, you'll love it. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Bring your kids. Your kids will like it.
They're 4 and 6.
They might be a little intense in the
They're not going to see that.
Do they go see, like, what's their movie habits at this point?
Despicable Me.
Yeah.
I want to see Despicable Me so far. Now, I know that there's never been a Despicable Me comic book, but Despicable Me is one of those things which I didn't see it coming. You know, it was one of these things that kind of, because I'm a single guy without kids and I don't watch a lot of animated films. That's really what it comes down to. But I'll tell you, when I saw the first two Despicable Me, I was like, what the hell is this minion thing? Yeah. What are these minions, right? I got a niece who's crazy about minions.
Yeah.
What are these things? So I got the first two movies. And I just loved how much heart there were in those movies. I'm a Bond fan, so it's such a parody on Bond films. And I love Gru and his relationship with these three little girls he adopts. And he just this villain that becomes a father figure to three adorable children.
It's
little
so
girls.
Fluffy.
I know. It's such... And there's so much heart in those two films. Now, the Minions movie, hated it.
Yeah, I didn't even bother watching it.
Hated it because there was no heart. It's all about... And in all the publicity stuff, I said, I'm not seeing the little girls.
No.
Are they not in the third movie?
I have a feeling they're going to show up, but I haven't seen them either.
Yeah.
Because the commercials are implying that he's going back to evil.
Well, that's okay as long as he does it with his kids. You know, if Gru is not with the little girls... that'll be the next rant on Hey Kids Comics, where I'm like, they didn't have the kids. It was terrible. There was no heart. Yeah. Who does the voice? That's that guy.
Steve Carell.
Yeah. I picked up thinking that I liked Despicable Me so much, I picked up Hotel Transylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys seen that one.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, hated it. It was just too much CeeLo Green singing in auto-tune and like party sequences, you know? Yeah. Should have had some heart, liked some of the animation, but it was just like, anyway. But yeah, I've gotten off. This isn't Sam Tweedle Talks animated film.
Sam Tweedle Talks movies this week on Hey Kids Comics.
I haven't read much, just seen the titles, but they're talking about making Watchmen into a TV show.
I saw something like that. There was an article about that.
You probably saw Marty ranting.
I did. That was a good rant, Marty, and I agree with you. Thumbs up.
I agree too.
Why is Alan Moore such an arse? I like Alan Moore's work. Why is he such an arse?
Because he can.
What a pretentious piece of arse. Okay, that's a quote for the next.
What a pretentious piece. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. You know what? If I was a, I think, and I remember asking, you know, I think if I created a character and I actually, my character was made into a, you know, a film, unless they screwed it up. They didn't screw up the first Watchmen. They just made it better. That Watchmen movie, they just made it better.
I really enjoyed it.
But like there was one big change. And it was one of the first times in film history that they changed something, and it was actually better because, oh, I don't know, it made more sense than a giant squid monster.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, maybe that's why Alan Moore is all bitter.
They took away the squid monster.
But, like, every movie that has been made from his stuff, like, he tells him to take his name off of it.
V for Vendetta was fantastic.
It was amazing.
But what wasn't awesome was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Now, I haven't read the comic.
I have the comic.
I was just going to say.
Is the comic good?
Yeah, the comic's great.
Yeah.
If it's on, I'll watch it. I know it's kind of cheesy and the effects are kind of. But it's Sean Connery and.
Yeah.
Nina Harker and.
What I don't like about it is that they added Tom Sawyer in it and he's not in the original comic. Yes. It was supposed to be British characters.
Yeah, that was like, oh, that's throwing an American.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that didn't. And how? What's Tom Sawyer doing over in England?
Yeah.
He should be on a raft down the Mississippi.
Well, maybe his raft went over to England.
Give me a break. Yeah.
That's the only thing. Although I like his character. Like, the guy played it well, but he just wasn't.
Who was that? I don't even remember.
Oh, I know. I'd have to look him up. But I liked the character, but it just didn't belong in the overall.
I think the fact that so many people have ripped off that, like, I mean, Alan Moore came up with that concept first, and then there was Penny Dreadful, which I quite like, which is just a ripoff of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And now, and what I'm loving the book is Rough Riders by Adam Glass. But if you can't say Rough Riders, it's just a ripoff of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with early 20th century, turn of the century historical American figures. But it's the same concept.
British. Oh, okay.
Right? It's basically, it's Theodore Roosevelt, who's still vice president, gets together Harry Houdini and Annie Oakley and Thomas Edison. And now they're a team that go out to fight aliens and people with scientific devices that they probably shouldn't have at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's the same concept, but it's great. It's a great concept. And, you know, and I remember reading League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and, like, Alan Moore would insert really obscure characters into, like, just one panel. Like, Pollyanna shows up at it at one point in quite a disturbing, gruesome way. You know, poor Pollyanna. That's one of my favorite Disney movies.
But it's a great concept,
though. Yeah, it is.
You know, Alan Quartermain, Mina Harker, Captain Nemo,
The Invisible Man.
Invisible Man, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, and then and Moriarty.
Dorian Gray,
and like, Moriarty was the villain.
Yeah, like it's just.
And it's a great Sherlock, he didn't use Sherlock Holmes, but that would have just been maybe too obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sherlock Holmes villain, arch nemesis was the villain, which was kind of cooler.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's a great book, but
just to bring it full circle again, it was actually Damon Lindelof who was reported to be making the Watchmen show for HBO.
Who is that?
He was behind Lost. Yeah.
Oh.
He wasn't. J.J. Abrams was the one that came up with the concept of Lost, but Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse were the ones that ran the show for like the last 4 years.
Oh, it'd be That'd be interesting.
And they're, like, I really liked Lost.
Oh, I did too. I never missed it.
So.
And you know what? I could see them. They're so good at working with flashbacks.
Yeah.
That I could see.
Because that's a big part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they planning on doing something like readapting the Watchmen prequel books that came out?
No idea. All it says here is that Aunt May is going to be 20 years old.
Oh, of course. Yeah, well, I'll tell you.
I guess if you include the prequels and the flashbacks, you can make it.
You can make a decent TV series out of it. Yeah, as long as they don't like make Captain Metropolis like green instead of blue, I can deal with that.
But like,
of course
yeah,
they will.
Give me Dr. Manhattan.
That's what I meant. What did I say?
I don't even
Captain
know.
Metropolis.
Dr. Manhattan. Same guy.
Who is Captain Metropolis?
I don't know.
So close.
Same guy. Oh my God.
So close.
But yeah, like you wouldn't want to just redo the movie because that would be pointless.
No, yeah. That'd be, yeah. You'd have to.
Because the movie was good.
The movie's
right? Like,
fantastic.
I mean, if you want to redo Catwoman as a TV show and make it better, go ahead. But like, don't take a good movie and then redo it as a TV show.
Yeah, didn't they just, they do that all the time though. They do it all the time.
So
they got big shoes to fill, though.
Oh, they do. They do. But you know, do you ever get those people? You ever one of those people? You know, man, I didn't like Watchmen. I didn't like it that much. It sucked. Who are those guys? I mean, Watchmen was like the Citizen Kane of superhero movies. It was large.
Yes.
It was ambitious. It was. Artistic,
well, that, you know,
and they pulled it off.
You know, are you talking about the movie or the books?
The movie.
Okay, because are the people that are saying they don't like it is because of the books or the movie? Because
the movie. Who are the people who don't like the movie?
Or did they go see it in the theater and they were scared by a 10-foot penis? But anyways, or maybe they're just pretentious people.
Well, I'll tell you something.
I find the books a little
but I'm
heavy,
a pretentious
right?
person, Dan, and I liked it.
Okay.
But I've also, because I'm pretentious and I've seen a lot of art films, I've seen a lot of 10-foot penises.
That's going in the opening credits.
Yeah. And you know what they should, and talking about 10-foot penises, do you know what they should make into a good movie? You know what was a superhero movie or a comic movie they really messed up? And I'd love to see it done right, is Man-Thing.
Right.
Right. I would love to see Man-Thing. And
see what you did there.
See what I did there. Talking about Man-Thing, the final issue of the latest Man-Thing book by R.I. Stein or R.E. Stein. What's that? Kids horror.
R.L. Stein.
R.L. Stein. Stein. Can you tell I never read any of his Goosebumps. Books when I was a kid? Final issue came out this week, and thank God. I love Man-Thing. And it was the worst Man-Thing series I've ever read. What a piece of junk. And thank you. Did it help popularize Man-Thing? Maybe enough to get a movie. I don't know. Anyway, I'd love to see a good Man-Thing film.
So to change the topic.
Yes, let's do that.
To Marvel Legacy's big announcement.
I don't know. I haven't heard this announcement. Tell me, Dan. I don't even know what this is.
The giant announcement seems to just have been variant covers.
Ugh.
What?
Homage covers.
That's it? That's the big announcement?
And that's going to change the comic book industry
forever? If I can, I would like to just read the titles to the Bleeding Cool articles that have been published,
okay?
8 exclusive, this is the first one, 8 exclusive retailer variants for September. Whoops, that's the wrong one, guys. I screwed it
that's
up.
That's okay.
Marvel releases first 6 legacy teaser covers, changing industry forever. More Marvel Legacy homage covers, changing the industry forever. Marvel reveals third round of legacy titles, cover homages, changing industry forever. Again, like Bleeding Cool just hates Marvel. Marvel changes industry for record 4th time in one day with new round of legacy homage covers. Another round of Marvel legacy teasers changes the industry forever with Black Panther, Squirrel Girl, and more. You can't say you're going to change the industry forever. Reality itself threatened as 6th industry-changing set of Marvel Legacy titles, homage covers revealed.
That's awesome.
Variant covers do not change.
No, they don't change
the industry
forever.
At all. And yeah.
Seeing as how that's part of what's killing the industry right now.
This one of my favorites. Industry changed so much, it's pretty much back to normal in 8th set of Marvel Legacy title and homage cover reveals.
Bleeding Cool, so, you won the internet today.
You did.
Like, yeah. By giving giving a giant finger up to Marvel. And
That seriously was the news that was supposed to
That's pretty much
change the industry.
Let's see. So,
you know what would have changed the industry forever is if like Marvel bought the rights to Superman.
No.
And now Superman was a Marvel character. Yeah. That would have changed the industry forever. You know, yeah. But this crap? No. My God, guys, I'm in such a crass mood tonight. What'd you guys do to me?
I think it was your seats at Kenny Rogers.
Oh, God, those are terrible seats.
Let's get back to Kenny Rogers.
You know how bad those seats were? Those seats were so bad that when I looked at the screen, Kenny had his original face.
Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
Oh, worst plastic surgery ever. Yeah, it's in the eyes, man. Hey, dude, he has scary eyes. He has real skis, like
changing the comic book industry forever.
Forever, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Kenny Rogers changing the comic book industry forever. Oh,
man. So I can't remember who was. Oh, all four of us were here last week.
That's right.
That was I was like,
that was an interesting show. Last week? That was an interesting show.
Because there was some more like dark night metal DC. Batman.
Is there
news.
More news? I haven't decided if I'm going to collect that yet or not. I'm on the fence with that. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with the next one.
Yeah. Apparently, there's two one-shots: Batman Lost number one and Hawkman Found number one. Now, question, and feel free to spoil things because this is a little bit. Old, I think, not super old, but like what's with the death of Hawkman storyline? I haven't been following that.
Oh, well,
like, is this tying into that somehow, or?
Well, here's the thing about Hawkman is he's reincarnated,
yes.
Right? Yeah. So every couple of years, they just kill him off because they figure it's a really cool way to do it and bring him back. Like, okay, so kind of what happened is back somewhere along the line, they screwed Hawkman up real bad. They just, all right, so you have the Golden Age Hawkman, which is where the Earth 2 Hawkman, where Hawkman was Egyptian. And then you had the Earth 1 Hawkman, or the Earth 2, I always get that all confused. Anyways, you have the one that got reintroduced in the 60s, and he was an alien, right? But, and then the two, Earth 1 and Earth 2 meets, and there was two different Hawkmans. And then somewhere, and they kept it kind of separate. And then somewhere along the line, around the early 90s, they decided they were just going to, and we had it all straight, and they were great characters. Well, they did this thing called Hawk World.
Yeah.
Where they're like, even though we're not recreating anything, we're just going to recreate Hawkman just because. Like, there's no event around this. We're going to. And they just screwed up Hawkman. They just screwed it up, right? Like, bad. And then, I don't know, didn't they... They did, and then they just got rid of Hawkman because it was like all messed up in continuity or something.
I don't know.
So Geoff Johns, being the brilliant writer he is, and he really is, I'm not being sarcastic, he actually was able to create this storyline where Hawkman was, where he really, really went into like the reincarnated origins of Hawkman and explained that one of the reincarnations was the alien Hawkman. And he also went into like some other characters in DC from the past, like Dark, like a cowboy character. I can't remember what his name was, and like one of those knight in shining armor characters from the old Showcase, and said those were also Hawkman, like in different incarnations. And it was really a brilliant concept, which they're still sticking with. Now, in the New 52, which was such a friggin' disaster, in the pages of Justice League, it was supposed to be Justice League Canada. I can't remember what they ended up calling it. Jeff Lemire's book. Hawkman was a character, and they killed him off. They actually killed off Hawkman, because then they could bring him back, right? And it was going to be that big shocking death. Oh, we're going to kill a character. Oh, it's Hawkman!
Changing the industry forever.
Yeah, because we know we can bring Hawkman back. So now there was a Hawkman Adam Strange book or something. I didn't read that. I don't know what happened in that book. But the bottom line is you can constantly kill off Hawkman and just reincarnate him. But it's Geoff Johns only maybe in the last 15 years which has kind of made that a concept. And it's a concept that works really well. So that's kind of my, you know, if anybody has a better explanation of it than I do. Man, that's why there's also been multiple Hawk women now as well. They just seem to be playing with this. It's, as I said, basically it's a character that got so screwed up somehow. This was sort of your way of fixing the continuity issues. And it's worked out. Of course, all of DC Comics is just a giant continuity issue these days. But that's another rant for another show.
Mm-hmm. Personally, doesn't answer Dan's original question.
What was the original question?
It's about the death of Hawkman storyline.
That's going on right now.
Yeah.
Well, is he dead?
I don't know.
Alive?
That's why I was asking. I don't
know. Well, I don't know.
I thought that one of you guys might have read it.
I don't know. Oh, I'm just explaining how you can kill him and bring him back.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. We had time to waste.
Well, and while we're sitting here, let's all talk about what Hawkman we prefer. Personally, I grew up on the alien Hawkman, and though I have a respect for the origins of the Egyptian Hawkman, I grew up on the alien Hawkman. I've always been a little more in love with that one. What about you, Chris?
I just like the big winged version with the mace. That's all I like.
Yeah.
That's probably several different versions, though.
Dan?
I don't really know that much about Hawkman.
Yeah.
Except that he died in Blackest Night. That's the only thing I remember.
That's what I'm saying, right?
That's the only thing I remember.
You can kill him and bring him back. It's
Yeah.
Anyway.
So,
other media-wise, it's kind of awkward in Smallville.
I didn't follow Smallville up at that point.
They did decent jobs of them in...
Michael Shanks played him in Smallville, didn't he?
Somebody
I love Michael
really,
Shanks.
Yeah, but it just it looked awkward.
I loved Smallville for quite a while, and then once it became the Green Arrow show featuring Superman, I was out.
But
it
the
was
Legends of Tomorrow. That was a pretty decent version of Hawkman.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that part yet either. Yeah. I have watched half the first season. I love the show.
I still haven't started that one.
Yeah, I bought it.
I own it. Yeah, I own it too.
You were there when I bought it.
Yes,
I bought it from you.
Sold it to you.
Yes, you did. Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome.
All right.
Seeing how apparently it was out a few months ago, yes, Hawkman did die at the end of Death of Hawkman.
Okay.
So he's currently dead.
He's currently dead again.
Yeah, until...
Which is probably why it's a big deal that he's in the Batman Dark Knight thing.
Because he's going to come back to life. Because that's what Hawkman does.
Yeah.
Hawkman's like the Hawkman and Red Tornado and Jean Grey are the three stupidest people you can kill off in a comic because they will come back.
They will.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah.
Well, it looks like that's almost. We got like another minute.
We got another minute.
And I'm just glad that I don't have any expensive comics in here because it's hot as heck and I'd be worried you'd put them in your mouth.
When are we ever going to get past that?
Never. It's only been a year.
Never. It's only never. Okay, all right.
We're just making a joke to fill the last minute.
All right. Well, that
it
was
is hot
that was,
though.
It is very hot. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to going home and getting some iced tea and read the rest of the comics I still have yet to read.
Yeah.
I have three more on my pile to read. Those are always like the last few comics there on the bottom of the pile, the worst ones you own.
The ones that you get out of loyalty but don't read?
That's exactly what it is. It's actually all the books that I buy currently. It's Justice League of America and Birds of Prey, both featuring Black Canary. Obviously, that's why I buy them, but damn, are they terrible.
And on that note, we'll end this show. So tune in next week and we'll probably be back.
All right.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?